Straight Talk. Murray Langdon on CFAX 1070.
All right, we've got a jam-packed studio here at Victoria's News Authority. Joining us to lead the way is Ian Huey from the Victoria Whiskey Festival. Great to have you back again, my friend.
Thanks, Murray. Thanks for the invite. Good to see you. You're looking vibrant and well.
I am. I'm feeling terrific. And this is kind of like the after Christmas present that we like to do, that we like to talk about. We've got a couple of very special guests in the studio. I'll let you do the introductions, and we'll talk about what we're going to talk about here.
Well, I'll introduce this beautiful young woman from the Isle of Arran, and you can introduce
Godfather of whiskey. Then okay, go ahead.
We have a great pleasure in having, for the very first time in Victoria at the festival, Faye Black from the Isle of Arran Distillery, and she has brought a great array of whiskeys for us here today that we're going to delve into, and she's going to give us a good idea what's happening on the Isle of Arran and what they're doing going forward, because they are in essence a new distillery that are doing great things. So I'm going to let Faye lead the way on that, and I'll let you introduce the other gentleman.
And the one and only Jim Burr, who's come back to us after treating us with such great education last year, and again, with the Bible, that has become a very interesting learning
tool. It's the only reason I come in, is to actually present you with your annual copy of the Whiskey Bible.
This has become, we talked about this last year, this has become, an entrenched part of your calendar. You have no shortage of engagements that you could that
actually,
you could
entertain. I mean, it takes about 4.5 months, 5 months to write the Bible, and I now bring Victoria into my life. In other words, I spend about 2 weeks of the year here. It is the perfect way to start the year. And in fact, in my PR stuff now, it actually says Jim Murray spends part of his time in Victoria. So it's
almost like being in Scotland, isn't it, with the weather?
I don't know. I don't know. People buy rounds here for you. So.
Well, let's talk about trends that we've seen. And Faye, I want to bring you into this as well, too. One of the issues that people always say is the knowledge, the education, and the learning. And Ian, you jump in on this as well, too. Yeah. That natural intimidation, people, they say this with wine or beer or any spirit. What they don't know tends to dominate their schools of thought. How do you combat that, or how do you alleviate that?
Well, on Arran, we think education is so important. So it's a case of going out there, meeting our public, the people that are going to taste our whiskey, buy it, and we want to educate and enthuse them so they can then go to their families, to their friends, to their whiskey societies, to, you know, the broader, bringing in the broader element. So it is. It's just a case of educating and enthusing all the time.
Absolutely. Jim?
I mean, the way that I do it is I just try to get people not to be scared of whiskey. You know, a lot of people seem to think, and they've been told, that there's certain entry levels. You know, you've got to be at a level before you can go on to that level, and so on and so forth. It's rubbish. I mean, the Bible has 4,500 different tasting notes to different whiskies, and each one of those is a different door into whiskey. You know, there's a lot of snobbery, there's just so much rubbish spoken. And what I try and spend all my time doing is getting people to relax with the whiskey and actually listen to what the whiskey is telling you in the glass. Because I'm a translator. I translate into my books and so on and so forth what is being said by the whiskey. But anyone can do that, and the trick is to actually learn that. And it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be Scotch, it could be whiskey from any part of the world. You know, I just don't bang the gong for Scotch, I'm not interested in that. I bang the gong for whiskey. And I believe that, you know, if people actually don't listen too much to the romance, too much to the snobbery and the elitism that goes on, but just embrace it, there's an amazing world out there.
Ian had me come to one of the master classes a few years ago, and that was my first introduction to this kind of format. And not only, Jim, was it not snobbery, it was just downright chicanery. It was great fun. Yeah. And that took away a lot of that mystique and that intimidation.
Yeah, and that's the big word, is intimidation, Murray. And what happens from year one now to this being year seven is that we've seen the knowledge spectrum in this town, and it's across the age spectrum as well, just go ballistic. Last night Jim did his gold award winners last night at a tasting, and that crowd was quite mixed. Year one of the festival, we had 4 women attend the festival. Now we'll probably have close to 100, and that is from probably 19 upwards, obviously. But the young people are now getting into this, and the young women are getting into it because they don't want to go out and have all these sugary, perfumey drinks. They realize the refinery of whiskey and the fact that it is approachable from whatever angle they want to gather it in.
It also helps when you see that reflected in the industry as well, which is why I think Faye is a great role model to have.
Well,
and my
you.
Last appearance there was I was actually blown away at the gender balance, because 3 years prior to that, it was non-existent.
Correct.
It was what we would assume as the
man's night out.
Absolutely. And all our ages.
Well, as a
single
guy.
But now we've seen that very
as a single guy, I absolutely insist women attend.
I knew there was something in this for you. And it's not just about the Bible. But it is. It's been a very good learning curve. And I think it also, not only the intimidation, but I think it gets people to embrace that whole learning culture.
Yes.
Right? And when they become invested in it, they're more likely to say, actually, I feel good about having that.
I think what's important, though, is the level of education that they get. It's no good just slamming a kilt onto some guy who has just started working for a company and then pipe him in and he's some master this, master that, master the other. I'm afraid one of the downsides, this is the 20th anniversary now of me becoming the world's first full-time whiskey writer. So, you know, I've seen the entire whiskey world change. In a generation. There's now people in Canada who are drinking whiskey who weren't even born when I started doing this. And the choices, if they went back to when they were born, and you look at the choices, there was no Aaron. That wasn't around.
Absolutely.
There's just loads and loads of micro distilleries. There's some on this island. There's larger distilleries on this
island. Absolutely. And I think I can't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago, we had representatives from India.
Yep, and
from Amrut, I think it was.
Yeah, he's back in town this year.
And what an eye-opener that was.
Well, Amrut whiskey is one of the world's great whiskies. I mean, I had it in my tasting last night. And, you know, if you heard a clanking sound at about 9 o'clock, that was people's jaws hitting the table when they realized it was Indian whiskey. Because I do all my tasting blind, because I don't want people to make up their mind beforehand whether they like it or not. So, you know, if people look at, you know, Welsh whiskey or an Indian whiskey, and they'll think, that's going to be rubbish. Because they've spent their entire life drinking Scotch, and they think, that is the king. All others are just mere
substitutes. May I equate that to the Bordeaux of red wine and what other people equate as an inferior product? That kind of thinking?
Yeah. And this is what I mean. And, you know, there is, what you've got to remember as well, you people read magazines, this, that, and the other. And you've got to think, well, hang on a minute, why is so much written about that? Well, could it have something to do with the amount of advertising that goes in there? So, you know, people, you know, the industries with the big advertising pool tend to get slightly the more romantic, feedback. But what I try to do is I try to show people the smaller distilleries and whiskies from around the world, because there's some crackers out there. But there's also bad whiskies out there. I mean, no one should go along and think, oh, every whiskey is great, and if I don't like this, it's my fault, and this and the other. It could be. It could just be, Murray, a bad whiskey.
Absolutely.
They do exist.
And that the stigmata of single malt versus blended also, that has been a terrific anchor, Ian, over time.
Just to go back, last year's winner in Jim's Bible, Ballantine's 17-year-old whiskey of the year.
Yeah. I mean, people thought I was nuts.
Until they tasted it blind.
Collective
now they're just sifting through to what level he's not. but yeah.
I mean, I remember classically, I did a tasting at the Union Club of British Columbia here in Victoria. And we did a knockout competition where whiskeys played each other. So whiskey one was tasting against whiskey two, blind. And I got the people in the room to vote. And the one that, you know, was the favourite of two went through to the next round.
Kind of like the FA Cup.
Next one. And it was like the FA Cup. And it was through to the final. And it was all done blind. Only when they got knocked out did I reveal what they were. And the winner was a blended whiskey.
It was Ballantine's.
And people went, that can't be. That, you know, it absolutely trashed all their previous...
Isn't that interesting? And I wonder what that did to the self-image they had, or the portrayal they had in their minds of what Ballantine's is.
When I do a whiskey tasting, I tell people that when they leave the room, all their previous, what they previously thought about whiskey, they can discard. They're starting again.
Hmm.
Because there has been, I think, a little bit too much OTT PR... speak. And sometimes you read certain articles, you don't know where the PR begins and where the truth is. It's a bit odd. And so I try to throw that away and get people to actually discover the whiskies.
Ian?
I was just, there's one thing that I always like to do, and we've done this now, I think, is this year 7 for us at Murray?
It's got to be close,
yeah. Yeah, for the both of us. There's one thing that I always like to do just to warm things up here, and that's this magic sound that I'm going to do right now. I hope the listeners heard that.
Absolutely.
You didn't make it squeak. You've got to get a squeak.
Okay.
You need that gentle left-handed. There you go.
There we go.
See, these are polished practitioners.
That's right, yeah.
She's looking. These guys. All right, well, who wants to navigate us through? Because we've got some things we want to highlight here. Faye, do you want to do that?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Right. We have a fine selection here of 4 of our products. We are a very young distillery. We're coming up to 16 and a half, almost 17 years old, which in whiskey terms is still relatively young. But in that short space of time, we have actually managed to achieve an awful lot. So in front of us, we have a single cask bourbon. I'm just looking at the age here. It's a 10-year-old, cask strength 58.3%. We then move on to a premium single cask sherry, followed by Icon number 2, which is the Roundtree. This is a series of 4 whiskies. And so this is number 2 called the Roundtree. And we're finishing off with a peated Arran known as Macri Moor. So for us, this is quite different because generally we are an unpeated whiskey, although we are an island distillery. So this is a very limited release and something quite special, young but very special. So we'll start off with the single cask bourbon.
Who wants to navigate us through?
Right. This one?
Yes. Come on, Jim. Refresh your taste buds.
Now, I'll tell you something. While I'm pouring this, Murray, if you look at the label, you'll see on all Arran labels that there's 2 golden eagles there.
There is, and on all of our uniform.
And on the... Oh, yes.
I didn't notice the uniform.
There you go. Faye is wearing 2 golden eagles. And do you know where the 2 golden eagles sign comes from?
I do not.
Do you know, Faye?
Of course I do. I've been there 15 years. I see them every day.
What actually happened was that the distillery, the building of the distillery was held up because there was a golden eagle near it, and they were frightened it was going to stop the nesting. So the distillery took about 2 years longer than it should have done to be completed. And I think there was also a great crested newt involved or something, some bizarre animal. And I actually opened the distillery. I was actually there one amazingly hot summer's day. And
always
I,
like
I,
that.
And I opened, yeah, that one day of the year when that happens. And I did the official opening. And I was telling the story about this eagle that held it up. And then I looked and I turned to the left, and above the hills were 2 golden eagles. The eagle had found a mate. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, if you turn to your right, you will see that the golden eagle has found a mate and they are given its approval. And they turned and they looked, and a 1,000 people gasped. And people
it's kind of haunting.
And people still say to me, how did you make that happen?
It's just part of the karma and the magic.
Absolutely.
Well, it's even fashioned as part of the bottle as well, too, which I thought very neat. Yeah. It's got a nice bit of relief to the bottle.
Got Marie a bit
Do you want to taste this?
Absolutely. Walk me through again. And,
right.
And thankfully, because I'm not afraid to say it, I've got a prominent nose. The nose is very crucial in this whole exercise, as Jim has deftly told me.
It is.
You've got to get it in there. You've got to pull on it.
You have.
So that's why we brought these glasses.
Yeah, exactly. My favourite type of glass, not. But what you do, Murray, is that you just put the glass under your nose, right, like that, and allow the aroma to break up. And this is... It's bourbon cask, but it isn't like bourbon, other than the fact that there is some decent tannin in here. So this is unmistakably what it says on the bottle. And when you breathe, don't breathe heavily. Just breathe normally. But we should really be warming this up. And with these kind of glasses, very difficult to do because these don't have stems.
Absolutely. Okay?
So we're going to have this...
Got to wrap the fingers around the bell at the
exactly.
bottom.
But I did something very dangerous. When I actually opened the distillery all those years ago, I actually predicted that it would become one of Scotland's top distilleries.
And we love
that's
you
a bold
that.
Prediction.
It
that's
was a bold prediction. Prediction. It was an extremely dangerous prediction to make. but I'd nosed it. I tasted it. I'd gone through it, and I was absolutely convinced they were absolutely bang on course. And this proves it because this is a classy act. No off notes. It's rich. It's thick. And if we had time to warm this up, which we don't, this would absolutely. In fact, do you know? Do you have music on this station? You don't, do you?
Yeah, we do.
No. Well, I was going to say, because if you don't, you would now, because it would start singing to you.
Absolutely.
So,
I was going to. Should we get some music? Should we get some sampling music in the background here? We'll try and find something that's befitting of this moment here. Our producer is deftly navigating through the internet to get to some accompaniment. Something loungy, Corey. Something piano-esque.
No pipes.
Yeah, absolutely no pipes.
We will.
I love pipes, thank you very much. My brother plays them.
Right, now then, when you taste it, just a little taste to wash your mouth out first.
Okay. I need the mug.
And the mug to spit. And then spit. Don't even think about that. And now, for the main taste, take a mouthful, head back, close your eyes. Listen to the music.
I thought for a second we were at a nightclub. Something was emerging there. All right.
After three. One, two, three. Now, look how rich that is. Very. The flavors come in layers.
Absolutely.
Okay? So it's not just one big mess. That can only be bourbon cask.
And the lingering after effect is very rewarding.
That's actually, I think, one of my favourite features of our whiskey is the spicy, lingering finish. You know, you'll be tasting this till lunchtime. It's absolutely stunning.
Jim, am I wrong in saying that seems to be a little spicier than what I would traditionally taste?
No, not really, but you're getting the spice from the oak.
Oof.
And that oiliness was one of the reasons that I predicted that this whiskey would do very well. Because for a whiskey to really, really work, you've got to have a finish. And that Aaron has just enough oil for it to actually coat the mouth, and that makes it linger further. So you really get your money's worth. But you get your money's worth of something that's high quality. So here you get a really intense barley flavor, but you've got many, many different facets of oak. It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is.
And do you know where it really
I'm
works?
Still feeling it right in.
Do you know where it really works? It's that balance between the drier oaks and the sugars of the malt, and the sugars of the oak as well. And neither of those two sides is winning the battle. It just balances.
I'm getting the permeation in my cheeks, which I thought I would actually.
Quality.
All right, number two. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Number two,
right.
Definitely.
So which one's this?
We are going for the premium single cask sherry. This is one of our older whiskies. It's coming up for 14 years old, which for us is getting there. And this is cask strength again at 56.3%. Let me just pour a few.
I think the music's Take Five Fingers, isn't it?
Absolutely. Perish the thought. We'll be under the table before this is over.
Ah, but we're spitting.
Absolutely.
You see?
You might be.
I don't know. Scottish girls, you can't take him anywhere, I tell you. Now, there's a little bit of a problem in the industry at the moment with sherry butts. There's a big sulfur problem. And that's the first thing you look for. You know, any whiskey, you look what's wrong with it before you look what's right with it. Okay.
So what sticks out in this one?
Well, it's still a bit cold yet. Mm-hmm. It's a bit lazy in the glass. You should have been sitting.
Sure, the one day of the year where we go below zero, wouldn't you know it?
Oh my.
And the other thing is, face squirted on just a little bit of perfume this morning. And it's gone all over my glass. Thanks for that, Faye.
I haven't.
Well, it's soap then.
Yeah, it must be soap, because I made a point of not putting perfume on.
Well, it's soap. Sometimes you can't help it. You're in a hotel or something, and you use a soap.
Absolutely.
I know better than that, Jim. Don't you worry.
All right, so walk us through this. We've got about 3 minutes left here.
Okay. right, if we're nosing it, it's a bit lazy at the moment. But there again, sherry sometimes is, because sherry is one of those things that's quite intense, and that means it can bring other flavours down. With the bourbon cask, you've got the flavours bouncing all over the place. The sherry can often actually soften it down, quieten it down. So, all right, let's taste this.
Attractive signs.
All right, and then after three, proper one. Wow. Okay, no sulfur on that guy. Very often, sherry can be quite dry. This has a real sweetness to it.
It does. There's almost like Parma violets coming through.
This is almost certainly from my Oloroso cask. And the beauty of it is, again, the sherry is not too heavy. If it's too heavy, you might as well just buy a bottle of sherry. So, you know, you want the other things to come through. And here, actually more than the other one, and you can tell the age, there's salt on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you've got the sherry, you've now got a saltiness coming through.
We are noticing that with our whiskey, which is 14 years and older, a saltiness is coming through.
Mm.
So it's wonderful, you know, every year we're finding these new flavours. So it's
yeah, I mean, the beauty is they're 17 years of age. They're on a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they're getting until they get there. So it's one of the most exciting.
It's hard to imagine that's just going through its nascency period.
It is. It is. I mean, it's like the Hubble spacecraft, you know, telescope. You know, they're peering into the future. And this is what these guys
do. Well, hopefully nothing stalls out. All right, we're just about out of time. We've only got to two, which is a shame because I would have liked to try more. Talk about what the festival looks like, Ian, for this year, because it seems to get bigger and better each and every year.
I think what this year, Murray, once again, we're doing all of the standard things that we do. It's a charity event. We give all the money away. This is just a bunch of volunteers that love whiskey. Everybody still gets a ride home at the end of the night. First people in line this year, 3 a.m. in the morning for tickets. 7 a.m. in the morning, there was 81 people in line. We have more people from overseas coming in. We have 23 people coming in from overseas to present this year, which is a record for us, and we welcome Fade, who's finally made it here. We're excited.
Thank you.
And everything's sold out as usual.
Absolutely. If you do want more information, VictoriaWhiskeyFestival.com. Faye, I'll be interested. One of the things I read in your blurb, too, is you're not just going to talk about the product, but you're going to talk about the industry as well. And I think people are fascinated by the inner workings of the industry.
Exactly. Warts and all. You know, you will be getting the stories from the distillery and from the visitor center. We've had quite a ride in the last 15 or so years, so yes, it will be fun.
But be careful with that, because you know, there's a few you know, fatwas on me because of the fact that, you know, I don't go down the official line. So be careful what you say, because
you'll
find a little red light dancing on your head from various.
Not at all. Everyone's very well behaved. It's the other people.
Hey, Ian, thanks very much for coming.
Thanks for great
Victoria
fun as ever,
Murray. WhiskeyFestival.com, and thank you once again. I'm still getting that beautiful lingering sharpness on the tongue and the different parts of the
tongue.
There's
a lot of whiskey there.
Absolutely. All the best.
Okay.